Come on, let's just praise Him. We give You glory, Lord. We bless Your name. We bless Your name. I may feel the presence of the Lord in this place today. I think somebody came to worship Him. I think somebody came to meet with Him. I've got a word for you today. Before we get into it, let me just say, stay standing for a second. We gave you a break earlier, all right? So you'll be okay. You'll be okay. Just act like you're in line to get into Taylor Swift concert or something, okay? For 5 hours or whatever that is. All right. Anybody like me, your mind just goes everywhere. You just bouncing around and things like that. Come on, let me see some hands here. All right. Some of you, you didn't raise your hand because you didn't even know what I said just then because you're just all over the place. Sometimes, you know, I just struggle mentally. Is that all right? Is this a safe place? I struggle mentally. And sometimes I'm not the greatest listener. I want to be, but there's been times when Rochelle said something, and I have to hope that what I heard at the end was what was at the beginning, because there have been times when she has said, "What did I say?" Because she could kind of sense that I was there, but wasn't quite there. And sometimes I'm pretty good at being able to quote the last phrase. And I'm hoping that that will suffice. But then she'll say, "What did I say before that?" And then it's like, well, I think it had something to do with, no, you weren't listening. Anybody? Don't leave me up here by myself today, all right? So today I want to talk about, last week we talked about how we need to have a heart scan. Today I want to offer a mind scan of where God searches our thoughts, and He helps us mentally and gives us the ability to get beyond what Solomon said was anxious striving. Let me read this to you. Ecclesiastes says, "What do people get for all their toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night," notice this was written a few thousand years ago, "even at night, their minds do not rest." Anybody with me? Like during the day, your mind feels cluttered. And then you lay down at night and you're thinking about, oh, I got to do that tomorrow. And I've got this to do and that to do. And your mind can just be racing. And Solomon describes this, but he doesn't offer the remedy, but I'm going to offer it to you right from God's word today in a message that I want to call Mind Over Matter. We're talking about heart matters. Will you pray with me? Father, take these next few moments, speak to us, and help us to really hear it. And for that, we need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn around, give five people a high five. Say, "I'm so glad you're here today." Make them feel at home. All right. Anybody like this that even when you're praying, even when you're praying, that your mind can wander. We're in our 21 days of prayer. We started last Sunday, and nothing like starting 21 days of prayer in a snowstorm, okay? And so many of us have been praying and seeking God this week, but maybe sometimes you're praying and you're saying, oh God, I want to talk to you about this, and oh my goodness, I forgot to get milk yesterday. And, you know, I need to fuel up my car and I need to whatever. Anybody with me on that? But I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about, you know, how I struggle sometimes to, you know, keep my thoughts together and to not just go chasing off when I'm trying to pray and talk to Jesus and speak to God, let God speak to me. And I was thinking about this. If there was anybody who had a lot going on, it was Jesus when he walked the earth. You know, the scriptures tell us that he was born just like any of us. You know, of course, it was a supernatural birth, but then he grew up. And the pressure of having to live a perfect life, the pressure of when you turn 30 years old to start and launch a public ministry and to choose 12 men that you are going to entrust the future of this move of God with. A lot of pressure. And to think, you know, I've got to teach, I've got to help people to understand the kingdom of God, and I've got 3.5 years to teach this and to instruct it. And while I'm doing that, there are people that I need to reach out and heal and perform miracles, even to the extent of raising the dead and be crucified myself and come back from the dead in 3 days. How many are worn out already? Right? I could argue that there's been no one who's walked this planet with a bigger assignment than Jesus. And yet, he was consistent and he was intentional about each and every day to do something that maybe we're not as intentional about. And that is to spend time with his Father. He would commit to this, to sit in silence with the Father. Now, if there was anyone who I would say could skip a day of devotions, if there was anyone that I think could possibly take a pass on a day, you know, it's just been busy and didn't have time to kneel and pray and whatever, I would give Jesus a pass. How about you? But I don't think he ever took a pass. As I read the scripture, and we're going to read a few here today, I believe that he really, really got his mind together in the presence of the Lord. And so I want to help us as we start this new year with principles for mind over matter. Here's the first principle that I want to share with you today. You can't have intimacy without being intentional. You know, you just can't. It's got to be intentional. Think about this. If you're going to have a successful marriage, it's going to take intentionality. And so all the single people, I just want you to know, you got it easy right now to a degree. Because there's a word for marriage, and it's 4 letters. It's called work, okay? To have a successful one, to have a thriving one, You have to put intentionality behind it. You have to put effort behind it. You have to put the other person first. And if you're going to be a great parent, guess what? Same thing. It takes intentionality. You don't just flounder around. Well, I don't know how it happened, but I became the greatest parent there ever was. Said nobody. And for a great friendship, have you had friendships that have just kind of done this? That they've just kind of grown apart? I'll tell you why. Because no one was intentional. It takes intentionality to keep it together, to have a relationship. And if it does that with earthly relationships, let me tell you something, it also works that way with God. If you feel far from God, it's not God's fault. And you can't busy your way to God. Billy Graham, he's at least known for this statement. I don't know if he really came up with it or not, but I'll give him the credit. Never met anyone close to God, he said, that didn't spend time with God. I've never met anybody who seemed to be close to God, but they didn't spend time with God. And what Jesus would do is over time, he would just withdraw. He'd move back, and not everybody understood that. Not everybody understood. Now, why? We've got a crowd. Why don't we just kind of keep building the crowd? And there would be times when, with thousands of people gathered, Jesus would get on a boat and leave. Go away to a secluded place in solitude and in silence. Let me show you. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, very early in the morning. Where are all my night owls? Okay. While it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they didn't understand it, and they exclaimed, everyone's looking for you. You've got a busy agenda today. You've got a lot of appointments. What are you doing? Look at this in verse 16 of Luke 5. He says it. I like how Dr. Luke puts it when he wrote about these occasions. He says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places, what? And prayed, right? He prayed. He would withdraw from empty places. I remember when Alexis was small. She was like a toddler and learned how to talk and talk and talk and talk. Come on, somebody. Right? And just jabber and all and just talk and all. And finally, one day, I think it was in the car, that Rochelle says, Alexis, can you just give mommy 3 minutes? Just don't say anything for 3 minutes. She didn't even know what 3 minutes was. But Rochelle was just trying to, can I just have a break right now? And see, that's kind of what happens to us. We're kind of like this cup. Some of us, we give and we give and we give. We get up in the morning, the alarm goes off, and we got to get the kids ready, get them off to school, get them fed, then get to work, fight the traffic, get to work and deal with things, projects that have to be done, and all kinds of assignments and everything. And then, you know, it's time to wrap up at the end of the day, and then we've got to get home, and because there's soccer, And there's dance, and there's dinner, and then we got to start it all over again the next day. And then in the summertime, there's yard work. And lately, shoveling the driveway. Come on, somebody. and all kinds of things. And before long, we look like this glass, right? We're empty. We've given. And you gotta, you know, do all of those things. And while you're doing them, you also have to stop and smile and get a picture of it so you can post it on your social media so everybody can see how well you're doing at all of this, right? But your cup is empty. And Jesus said, I've come that you might have abundant life. We say life to the full in John 10:10. That I know you need to be filled up. And here's what happens to many of us. Our schedule's full, but our cup is empty. And you can't give what you don't have. And that's why some of us feel like, I just don't have any more to give. It's because your cup is empty. And I'm telling you, God may have something for you to do in this year of 2025, something special that he wants to do through you, but you can't do it empty. You have to get filled up. And Jesus modeled this for us. Matter of fact, put this list on the screen, if you would. I think we've got a list of things that Jesus did in intentional intimacy. Look at this. Before he ever started his ministry, he prayed. He got alone with God. Before making important decisions, he would get alone and pray. After a long, hard day of work, he would retreat and go pray. After ministering to lots of people, he would go and find a secluded place to pray. After losing a close friend, he went and found a place to pray. Jesus modeled this over and over and over again. And that's the reason why during this 21 days of prayer, you need to take advantage of it. We have this building open every day from 6 a.m. until 1 p.m. for you to be able to come at your leisure, whatever fits your schedule, before anything happens, like Jesus, while it's still dark outside and the house is still, maybe you come here and you pray, or you just turn your living room into a prayer room. And you get with God. Or maybe it's during your lunch hour. If you live close by or work close by, rather, you can just come. Spend your lunch hour here. But whatever it is, I'm just telling you, as your pastor, you need 21 days of prayer. You need 21 days of prayer. You need it. And here's how I know you need it. Because you can't do this life on your own. Under your own power. Some of you, your marriage is struggling. You need 21 days of prayer. Some of you, your bills are too tall. There's too much. You need 21 days of prayer. Some of you, you have decisions to make about your future that are going to impact your life for the rest of your life. You need 21 days of prayer to be able to get before God and hear from him. You must be intentional. And here's this next step, is you can't give from an empty cup. You can't give from an empty cup. Some of you, you've poured it all out. And you're wondering, you know, what's my problem? Why are things not working? Why am I struggling so much? You know, it's the start of a new year. I shouldn't be battling this. I shouldn't feel this way. But it's because you're drained, because your cup is empty. And I know that for some of us, I had somebody ask the other day, they said, hey, I bumped into somebody I hadn't seen in a long, long time. They had moved away, and then they moved back to the area and bumped into them. And they said, so tell me, what's pastoring like after COVID? I said, sit down. No, I didn't. I just said, hey, it's crazy. I said, because I feel like I'm not as in touch with people. Because a lot of people got used to sitting in their bathrobe and watching church on their TV. And it got comfortable and got easy. And then now they don't come like they used to come. And it's, I feel, to their detriment. It's not that they can't go to heaven or whatever. I'm just saying you don't get as much heaven to go to heaven in. Does that make sense? Because there's a little bit of heaven. How many felt it a while ago when we were singing and worshiping and praising God? When two or three are gathered together, there's just power that's released. I worship in my car when I'm by myself. I worship at home. I worship in my office. I have some powerful worship services in my office. I never sing off key because nobody's there to tell me. But the presence of God is powerful when we get together. And there's, I always think, because I'm a doer, I just think there's more to do. And I can't get it all done. And so I never go home from the office and think, well, got it all done. It's all wrapped up. All complete. There's always somebody else who needs something. There's always somebody else who needs me, I feel like. And there's always more that I can do so I could preach a better message on Sunday. And if I just could study a little more, if I could just work a little harder, if I could just help the staff a little bit more, then they could be better. And there's always more. But here's what someone said one time that I heard, that you can allow the work of God to ruin the work of God in you. That you're so busy working and doing, and the scripture says, be still. Let me read it to you. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. He didn't say, be busy. Be active, be successful, or be whatever. Be still. In the Hebrew, it means to cease striving. To cease all the energy of trying to, you know, the anxious striving that Solomon wrote about. He says, don't get into that. And in Luke 3:22, Jesus is an example of this. Notice this. A voice came down from heaven. Some of you know this verse. You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Now, when did God speak that over Jesus? You know when? Before he ever healed anybody. He didn't heal one person yet. He hadn't preached one message, really. He hadn't called the disciples yet. There was nothing really about Jesus that would cause you to say, well, what are you pleased with? And God is saying, I'm just pleased with him. I'm just pleased with him. And Jesus, the next thing Jesus does after he hears this from the Father is not say, well, now I got to get busy. Because he's got expectations. And so I'm going to really get it together here. He didn't go and start pouring out. Instead, do you know what he did? He got more filled up. Let me read it to you. It's in Luke chapter 4. It's the next thing that happens after God speaks. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So the Holy Spirit falls on him. God speaks to him. And what's he do? He doesn't instantly go out and say, well, we got to get this thing going. We're on a timeline. There are meetings to happen. I got to get a guy. I think I'm going to meet a guy called Zacchaeus here for too long. No. Instead, he goes out to a desert place for 40 days and fasts for 40 days to get alone with the Father. Come on, somebody, get this today. This is what he does. If I'm going to be successful in life, I've got to have my alone time with the source, with the power, and allow him to infuse my life. So I want to spend the next few moments talking about the practice of the spiritual habit of solitude that Jesus gave to us. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, and I love it from the Message version, okay? So this, he just takes a lot of liberty here, but hey, it's some good stuff because it makes it pretty relevant. Here's what it says. Here's what I want you to do, and this is Jesus. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. How many have ever had that experience? And I'll just tell you that I can't rush into it. You know, I can't say, well, God, now I only got 5 minutes, so let's get the Holy Ghost going here and touch me and empower me and stir me and give me some goosebumps. Come on now. We only got 5 minutes. No. It's often when I just forget the agenda, just forget the calendar, forget everything else. And it takes me a while. I don't know about you, but it takes me a while to forget. So I get a lot going in my head. I get a lot happening, and I'm all over the place, and I'm already thinking what I'm going to do in a year, 2 years. No, lately I've been thinking about, what am I going to preach on in 3 years? You know? That's just how my mind goes. So it takes me a while. And then in those moments, then I hear him whisper and I hear him speak, and I'm so glad I didn't rush it. I'm so glad I didn't get up 5 minutes earlier. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm so glad that I hung in there in the silence, in the quiet, and when I felt like, oh, I should be doing something, I should be, you know, making something happen, I don't have time for this or whatever, and then but if I wait, they that wait upon the Lord, right? See, when you wait upon him, and Jesus understood this, nobody understood it better than him. Jesus hadn't produced a miracle at all, and the Father says that he's doing what I want him to do. And for us, it means like no texting, you know? It means no social media. It means no alerts on your phone, you know? Lord, be with me, ding. Oh, who just liked my Facebook post, you know? Oh my goodness, I better comment back to him. Okay, now Lord, I wanna ding. Oh, somebody on Twitter said something about what I said. Okay, hello? And so what we've gotta do is say, hey, I'm going to silence everything. Even the voices, the little voices, you know, just give mommy 5 minutes. You know, some of you go to the bathroom a long time. Mommy's going to the bathroom now. It ain't all about going to the bathroom. How many know that, right? And there's no little voices, no little voices later saying, come in and wipe me or whatever that looks like, all right? So you don't have that. And here's what it is. It's not isolation, it's solitude. Isolation, some of you are good at isolation, you run from people. You know, and that's why you fight depression and things like that. That's not a message on depression, but you just take this home with you. Just the reason why you're more depressed because you get alone. You don't get around people who can encourage you. But I'm not talking about the isolation where you just hide and feel sorry for yourself and whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is solitude, where in a positive sense, you're going there not to get away from something. You're going there to get to something and actually to someone. And you're wanting to meet with them privately. And so you deliberately push pause and say, I'm just going to stop and create some space right here. And the sole purpose of it, the sole purpose is not to twist God's arm so he'll do something for you or he'll give you something or whatever. And listen, we serve a good God who wants to give good things to us. So we don't have to worry about that part. What we have to focus on is just getting with him and hearing from him. And the only way you can hear from him, to hear from your father, is to do like Jesus did and say, hey, I'm going to get away from everybody else. I'm going to get away from everybody else. And I just put a plug in here. A lot of people want to fast different things and all. And I think fasting is so awesome, the 21 days of prayer and fasting. But listen, sometimes I hear people talk about, yeah, I'm going to fast chocolate for 21 days. And I don't know, maybe that is a humongous thing that you just, you know, almost IV chocolate, you know, and things like that. And it's quite the sacrifice because you have chocolate covered breakfast food and chocolate covered lunches and dinner and then chocolate after and whatever. I hear people talk about different fasts. I'll tell you what a great fast would be for people modern day is this. Don't touch my phone. Huh? What if you fasted? One of the best fasts I ever did was a couple years ago. I fasted social media. And it broke something in my life. It broke the hold of social media over my life. Because I would have to look at it every once in a while because I pastor all these people. What if somebody messaged me and what if somebody wanted me and needed me and whatever? And you know, I'm an important person and so I can't be unplugged and whatever. And so I was just, you know, always looking at that kind of stuff and, oh, you're supposed to comment back or at least like what they did or it's rude and everything. And so I would just have all that pressure and all. And then I went 21 days and I just said, hey, I'm ghosting everybody. For the Holy Ghost, okay? So I'm not going to be here. And you know what? When I came back, and ever since then even, it does not have the hold on me. As a matter of fact, just this last week, somebody had reached out to me about a situation that they had someone pass away in their family, and they were reaching out to me on Facebook, and all, and that's not the greatest way to reach out to me, by the way. But and here's why: because I didn't see it till the second day, and I'd say, "Hey, sorry, I just don't pay attention to this all the time," and especially when we're in our 21 days of prayer, because I'm trying to hear from God. What you've got to do is you must prioritize a place. Listen to me now. This is getting practical. A place and a time. Because Jesus did that. Notice that. Luke says he often would go to a place, and I think he had a special place that he often went to, a secluded place where he would go. And I don't know, it could even be at work. If at work you go to your car, for example, in the parking lot, you work at this big company and there's hundreds of cars in the parking lot, but you go in your car isolated to hear from Jesus and come back different after the lunch break. You don't even care if you ate or not. You just give that up maybe to meet with God because you so hunger for a word from God. Your marriage needs it so bad. Your wild kids need it so bad. Your emotions that are frayed need it so bad. In the culture that we live in, you need to hear from God so bad that you sit in the silence until you hear from God. And I'll tell you what, you would be surprised at what your soul will want to say to God. Because some of you, you'll want to sing. Some of you will want to shout. And you won't even care if people are getting in the car next to you or whatever. You're over there shouting and praising and worshiping and blessing God. And others of you, you may want to say, God, I am mad at you today because you didn't do what I wanted you to do in the way that I wanted you to do it. And it's just good therapy. You talk about powerful therapy. Get with God, the great counselor, and sit in silence before him. And guess what? He'll speak. He will speak. Get a New Year habit of just slowing down. This right here could give you 2 hours every day, possibly, to be with God. If you just pay less attention to that, you can make time for whatever you choose to have time for. Let me say it this way. You can make excuses, or you can know God, but you can't do both. And here's the reward. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. How many that could describe you? Tired, burdened, a lot going on. Got to get a lot done. I'm important. I got stuff to do. And here's what our Savior says. If you'll just come to me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. Doesn't that sound good?
Yes.
Rest. God wants to help you in the craziness of what's going to be in 2025 to have rest in your soul. And it comes through spending time with him. I grew up in church, and we used to sing an old song, and I found it on YouTube. And I want him to play that right now, just jack it up and play it. Tasha Cobb's gonna help us have church today.
Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul.
How many, that's your prayer?
God, feed me till I'm one. Sit with me, y'all. Here's my cup. Fill it up.
How many, that's the cry of your heart today? Let's pray. Father, That's the cry of my heart. I need you. Oh, I need you. Would you fill our cup today? Would you fill our cup to overflowing? You said if we would come to you, that you would give us rest. God, for every person who needs that in this place, who needs a word, who needs a touch, who needs your voice. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Craig, that's me. I too often forget to slow down, to hear the greatest voice I can hear. I have so many other voices in my ear. I have so much going on in my life. I have so much happening to me, but I don't want anything taking precedence over the voice of God in my life. And God is calling me closer. He's calling me closer. He's calling me today to rest that only He can provide. If that's you this morning and you want to get closer to your Savior than you've ever been before, and in this beginning of 2025, you want to declare, this is going to be a year for me to get closer to God, will you just raise your hand all over this room as a declaration, as a promise, as a God, pour into my cup today. Father, some of us in our marriage, we need this. Some of us with our kids, we need this. For some of us to stay sane this year and to be at rest in our souls, we need this. So Lord, here's our cup. Fill it up. Fill it up and make us whole. Help us to hear from you. Give us a word this morning that will last for the year. Give us, God, your presence in our lives that makes all the difference in every other relationship. And God, we're believing that we leave here today with our cup full and overflowing. And that each day from now on, we will take that time with you that refreshes, that re-energizes, that fills us up with something more than the world has to offer. There may be others here that you've tried to fill your cup with things the world has to offer, but it hasn't worked. You haven't felt satisfied. And here's the good news. Jesus says, come to me. Just come to me. Just bring your baggage. Bring your sin. Bring all your mess. Bring all your mistakes. That's what I'm here for. It's to take over in your life and eradicate the pain and the sorrow and the troubles of your past, and to give you a new beginning. And God offers that through Jesus today. And if you're here and you say, oh, Craig, I want a new beginning this new year. I want a new beginning with God. I want to surrender my life to Him as much as I know how. I want to surrender it today to the living God. Just raise your hand right now all over this room. If that's you, just surrender to God today. Just give Him everything. And online, just type the word decided in the chat, the word decided. We're going to be praying for you as well, but I want everybody in this room to pray this prayer right now. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe through His death, He paid for all my sin. And today I know I'm a sinner, but I want to be rescued. I want to be saved. So from this day on, as much as I know how, I surrender my life to you. Thank you for coming in and filling my life today. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's celebrate those who prayed that prayer.